It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I encourage you to keep Romans chapter 4 open. We're going to be looking at it together. So if somebody lies to you, it really hurts the friendship, doesn't it? Or if somebody takes something from you that doesn't belong to you, to them, what does it do? It really hurts the friendship. Or if somebody never calls you, if they're your friend and they never call you, never text you, it really hurts the friendship, doesn't it? If somebody bakes you a lovely chocolate cake, that doesn't hurt the friendship. That helps the friendship. Imagine if somebody came along with a lovely chocolate cake all for you. You think, wow, the best friend ever. Or if somebody calls you on your birthday and says, happy birthday, it helps the friendship. The things that people do to us, they either hurt our friendships or help our friendships. And the things that we do to people either hurt our friendships or help our friendships. Now, the children have been learning all about who in Sunday Club? Abraham. Now, a big question for Abraham was, how was Abraham going to be friends with God? How was Abraham going to be in a good relationship with God? Because Abraham sometimes did things that hurt his friendship with God, that hurt his relationship with God. So the big question is, how is Abraham going to be in a good relationship or friendship with God? This is exactly what Paul, the apostle, is going to tell us. But it's not just how Abraham could be in a good friendship or relationship with God. It's how we can be in a good friendship or relationship with God, or how we already are in a good friendship or relationship with God. So Paul tells us two things. And the first thing he tells us is how not to do it. How not to try and make God your friend, okay? Now, this is the working life. The working life, I call it. So this is when you try to make God friends with you or have a good relationship with God by what you do, okay? This is the working life. So look at verse 2 of chapter 4 of Romans. Paul says, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. Now, when Paul says justified, that's a big word, okay? Justified, it just means being in a good relationship with God, being in a that God is your friend, essentially. Now, Paul says if Abraham was trying to be friends with God by works, by what he did, he was going to be in trouble, wasn't he? What happens when we try to justify ourselves, when we try to get into a good relationship with God? I'm going to show you. I have a volunteer, Peter. Peter's going to come up. He's our lovely volunteer for this morning. So Peter's going to stretch out his hands as far as they can go. And in this bucket, I'm going to put this. In that hand. That's a hand, right? Not a bucket. And in this hand, I'm going to put out this bucket. Now, so what's on the buckets? Happy and sad faces, emojis, okay. Now, what I have here are lots of stones, okay? Now, if we are trying to make God be friends with us, what happens? We do something good, okay, and it goes in the good bucket. If we do something bad, what happens? Goes in the bad bucket. So, can you think of something good that you could do? Has anybody got an idea of something good you could do? Yes? We can make a chocolate cake. Okay, making a chocolate cake, good. Eating it to yourselves, bad. I think that's really bad, Peter. what bad things could we do? Yes? Giving somebody a surprise? Yeah, so it could be a good surprise or a bad surprise. What kind of surprise would you give them, Joshua? Any idea? A present. That might be a nice surprise. I think that's all the way over here. Now, what's happening here? Peter's arms are going up and down, and what that means is we're trying to outweigh the good with the bad, aren't we? Of course, when we do that, what that means for our friendship with God is our friendship with God is going up and down all the time, isn't it? Oh, God loves me. Oh, God isn't so happy with me. That's what happens when we try to justify ourselves by what we do. That's where we try to make ourselves friends with God by what we do. But we can never really be sure, can we? We can never really be sure we've done enough good. Or maybe we've done a little bit too much bad. Thank you, Peter. That's wonderful. I'm going to call Peter back up later because we all enjoyed that. Good job, Peter. Very little warning for Peter. Thank you. So how do we know if this is how we are trying to make God's friends with us? So a couple of ways we know, because we boast. Okay, so verse 2, Paul says, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. Okay, so we boast. Either we say to ourselves inside, oh, I am so great, and everything I do is so wonderful, and we just think about that all the time to ourselves. Or we tell other people about how great we are and all the great things we do. Or we tell God the great things we do. So sometimes we can boast by saying it out loud. Sometimes it can be subtle. So if you're one of the young people rather than the younger people, as you grow older, we get better at boasting subtly, don't we? I remember hearing a story of a preacher, a man who was preaching a sermon, and he thought it was a great sermon. And on the way home in the car, he was thinking about what a wonderful sermon he had preached. And he didn't want to boast about it, so he asked his wife a question. This was the question he asked his wife. Honey, how many truly great preachers do you think there are in the world today? Now, his wife saw what he was doing, so his wife gently said, one less than you think there are. What did she do? Just a little pop, pop. Burst his boasting bubble. Sometimes we boast like that. The other thing Paul wants us to keep an eye out for, if we think that what we do makes God friends with us, boasting, the other thing is thinking that God owes us something. Thinking that God owes us something. Look at how Paul says in verse 4, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. Now, some big words in there. Essentially, what Paul is saying, that if you're working for somebody, then when they pay you, it's not a gift, it's not a present, it's what they owe you. So you get to the end of the week, and you get to the end of the month, and they pay you because they owe that to you. And if they don't pay you, what happens? You start ringing HR and asking them what's going on. Now, hands in the air, if you have ever sent your employer or your boss a thank you card for them paying you at the end of the week. Anybody? Bunch of flowers? Box of chocolates? Thank you so much for paying me? Of course not. They owe you. And Paul says, if we are trying to make God friends with us by what we do, we can see this sometimes because we think God owes us. God, I've done so many good things for you this week. Why is my life turning out the way it is? I don't deserve this. You owe me better than this, God. I deserve this job. I deserve this relationship. I deserve this pay rise. I didn't deserve to have stubbed my toe against the corner of the counter when I was making tea this morning. So Paul says, if we are trying to make God to be friends with us by what we do, we can spot it because sometimes we boast and sometimes we think God owes us. Okay. So if this is what you're doing, trying to make God friends with you by being good, you have a big problem. Here's the big problem, and I share this problem. The big problem is we're not very good at being good. We're not very good at being good. In fact, we're bad at being good. We're bad at being good. See, Paul says we might be able to boast before people, But look at what he says in verse 2. If Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. He could not boast before God because God is perfect. And because we reject God, don't we? And so the bucket with the frowny face on it is right down on the floor for our whole lives. And there's nothing we can do to lift that bucket up. No matter what we put in the other bucket, we can never repair things in our relationship with God. Even Abraham knew this. So that's the first thing we want to think about this morning. How not to be friends with God. It's going to get more positive in a few moments. First, we're going to sing. We're going to sing, and then we are going to hear from the Nortons, Catherine and Russell. We're delighted that you're here, and Lowenna. We're going to hear a lovely update from the Nortons after we sing. But please stand. We're going to sing God of Grace, Amazing Wonder, and this is going to give us a hint of what is to come next in what Paul says to us. So let's stand and sing. You may take your seats. We're delighted this morning that Catherine Russell and Lowenna are with us all the way from Nigeria, and Catherine's going to give us a little bit of an update on how things are going for them. Over to you, Catherine.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everybody. It's such a pleasure and joy to be with you this morning. My name is Catherine Norton, but I know that many of you know me as Catherine Travers because I grew up coming to the church here with my family for my whole life. So I used to go to Sunday Club, so I'm delighted that the children are here this morning from Sunday Club. So I'd love you to raise up your hands if you're in Sunday Club because I need your help. So I'm going to be talking today a little bit about farming. So we'll have pictures up behind and you'll be seeing some farm animals. So when you see those animals, I want you to make the noise that those animals make, okay? So keep watching the slides up above and see what you can see. So there's no animals in the first one. You can see I'm with my husband, Russell, and our daughter, Lowenna. And we work in Africa. Now, when I was in Sunday Club, your teacher, Rebecca, her uncle, Graham, used to talk lots, like I'm talking today, all about his work in Africa. And I thought, wow, I'd love to go and to work in Africa. So in 2002, I was sent out from Grosvenor for the first time to work in Africa. So when I was preparing for this talk, I realized that's 20 years ago this year. So I was really amazed, and thank you so much to Grosvenor for all the prayers and love and support and encouragement over those 20 years as we've worked with Wycliffe Bible Translators. So now we work in Nigeria at a Bible college in the middle of the country called the Theological College of Northern Nigeria, or TCNN for short. I co-teach a course there called Scripture Use. So I know you have your Bible maybe at home, or you have it here on the chair in front of you. And if you just leave it there and you never read it, what's the point in having the Bible? So Wycliffe Bible Translators does Bible translation into local languages. But when it's finished, we don't want people just to leave it there on their shelf or leave it on their bedside table. We want them to actually use it. So I help people to use the Bible in their day-to-day life, maybe to have some songs with scripture verses in them. I know when I was in Sunday school, we used to sing songs like Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, or songs like that that helped me to learn Bible verses. So that's the kind of thing that I help people to do. When we first went to Nigeria 8 years ago, I noticed that so many people around me were farming. But I noticed also that some of the things that they were doing on their farms were damaging the environment. Maybe the trees were being cut down so there was nowhere for the birds to live. Maybe they were burning things that made it really smoky and it was hard for us to breathe well. So I saw a huge need to apply God's word to caring for the earth. So I wrote some teaching material for my students. And in that class was a guy called Malgwi. You can see him there in the picture. And he's from the northeast of Nigeria. And together, Malgwi and I started to think about how we could make these teachings relevant and culturally appropriate to farmers in Nigeria. Because often in Nigeria, farming is thought to be a dirty, simple, humble, lowly work, and nobody really wants to be a farmer. Maybe they want to be a teacher or an engineer or a doctor, but they have to grow their own food a lot of the time. Over the years, as Malgwi and I have developed our work into now what is now known as faith in farming, we've identified three main activities that we do. The first activity is we farm. Wow, so now you know, without me even telling you, because the children have told you, some of the animals that are on our farm. So when we got to our house in Nigeria, we had a huge garden, bigger than even the whole church and the church garden. So I was able to get some of these animals on our farm, which was great fun, and just try out farming. But for me, it was the first time. I had never done this before, so I had a lot to learn. And I learned that farmers are really amazing because they know all about lots of different animals and lots of different plants. And Malgwi has a big farm as well. So you can see him on the bottom left. That's him up on his farm up in Borno State. So he grew all his own foods with his family when he was young and learned farming from his mummy and his daddy and his granddad. So we know that when we're teaching farmers, we need to be able to farm, so that they know that we know a little bit about what we're talking about when we're teaching them. So firstly, we farm, and secondly, we write teaching materials. So as we farm, we maybe see some issues that need addressing, so we write teaching materials to address them. Or farmers ask us, please, can you help us with something? And we write some materials to help them. So from the very first class that I wrote, which is just, you know, an hour long or so, 60 minutes, Malgwi and I now have about 60 hours of teaching material. And the third thing we do is that we teach. So we teach anywhere we're asked to. Sometimes that's in communities, doing workshops or churches. Sometimes we do practical tours around our demonstration farms. Sometimes we teach at Bible colleges. And increasingly we teach on Zoom, on the internet, all across the world as well. Our teaching notes cover a wide range of topics viewed from a biblical perspective. Some of these things relate to practical farming. Some are more based on the Bible.
and some are responding to issues in Africa today. And we get amazing feedback from local farmers who say that their mentality is transformed and their approach to their work is transformed. One farmer told us, "We never thought of farming as a blessing and God's plan. We thought it was a curse caused by Adam and Eve, until the Faith in Farming team came and spoke to us." You can see Malgwi there teaching the picture. We were in the middle of a circle of 2,000 people, all of them farmers, who all thought that their work was a curse. And we were able to share with them, no, farming is a blessing that started in the Garden of Eden, and it's a wonderful thing to be a farmer. Another farmer told us, "Before, I used to trust in my own strength and in my chemical fertilizer for my farm. But now I've heard from the Faith in Farming team, I'm trusting in God." Faith in Farming has also gained attention from the leadership of our organization at the international level. One leader told me just last week, "Faith in Farming is doing exactly what we want our organization to do, helping people to engage with Scripture in their language in a holistic way that connects with their day-to-day life." Because of this attention, Malgwi and I have been asked to be on a number of international advisory groups within our organization. And one of those groups is hosting trainings later on this year in Senegal and Kenya for Malgwi and I to teach all of our Faith in Farming material to train two representatives from each country in Africa where our organization works to become Faith in Farming specialists so that all over Africa people can benefit from this Bible teaching. There are also discussions underway about trainings in Asia next year. And I just came down this morning on the train from Drogheda, where I was meeting an environmental scientist from the north of Ireland who is adapting our work for farmers in the UK and Ireland, which is such a tremendous blessing for me that my work there would start to bless farmers here at home. Thank you so much for praying for us. Obviously, praise is a huge, top of our prayer list, is just praising God for what he's done. It's been so totally unexpected. I know you sent me out doing music. My degree had been music, and God brought me into this farming. I had done agricultural science for my leaving cert, so there was hints of it there in my past, but it was so unexpected and so exciting. So really praise God for what's happening. But with all that growth and expansion, we do need prayer for wisdom, how to use our time, how to use our energy, and for protection in every way. Please also pray for a team of monthly financial supporters for Malgwi. He is a missionary just like us, and it's very hard for him to raise a full support quota from Nigerian churches. They're more used to receiving missionaries than sending them out, and they're more used to thinking of missionaries as foreigners rather than local people. So I have his prayer letter here, and there's some on the table, so do talk to us if you are interested in finding out more about that. Even a small amount like €5 or €10 a month faithfully can be a really great blessing to him.
Good morning, everyone. I think in line with the theme this morning, we can say that the work we don't do it to justify ourselves with God. We don't do it to earn anything from him. He doesn't owe us anything for the work we do. We do it as a response to him being in our lives. We do it through the strength that he gives us. We do it in that way. We do it because he's invited us into this work and to work with him. So we're at the Theological College of Northern Nigeria, as Catherine said, and it has a linguistics and Bible translation department to train Nigerians to become Bible translators. We have this motto, God's word in your language, not somebody else's, not a more important language, but God's word in your own language. I am the head of department, I'm Russell, and one of the things I've been doing as head of department since we were last here is building up a team of 5 faculty lecturers to keep the program going. They're in the picture, some expatriates and some former students. The best of our students who are coming back to teach more people who are coming. And we also have part-time lecturers, including Catherine. But we need a 6th faculty lecturer to complete the team that we've been building. And so we've got a young man there, one of our best students, recommended for appointment in 2022. We offer right from BA through to PhD programs. They're accredited by the Association for Christian Theological Education in Africa. And in recent years, what we've seen happening is that we had to get through 2020 first by putting courses online. Then as we came through that, we hit 50 students for the first time in 2021, and we got record numbers of applications again in 2022. So we are growing, we're becoming a bigger program than before. Still, there's already been students from 86 languages that have been through our program. I'm not going to read them all, right from Abuja to Zulu. Many, many languages in Nigeria, and they all need scripture. The students who come through our doors, when they finish, they go into various roles. They may become Bible translator for their language, but also language translation project manager or translation consultant who checks the scripture before it's published, or a lecturer with us, or an intern in a Bible translation organization, or a director in a Bible translation organization. That's actually the next slide. We see these people coming through and taking roles of translator or other things. Another highlight from the last few years is that we have got the college to approve having a course in faith and farming, putting faith and farming together, which is so important for many people in Nigeria. And so here's the students taking the first faith and farming course at TCNN with Catherine in 2021. A testimony from one of our students, a pastoral student who took our scripture use course taught by Catherine Amalgui. He said, as a pastor, I rarely preached in my mother tongue because of shame. He would preach in English, something more acceptable. But about four Sundays now, I have been preaching in my mother tongue, and little did I know, many people shed tears during sermons as they had the truth of God's words in their tongue as it speaks to them better. I encourage us, all of us, to please keep the fire burning. And that's a student from the Pan language. I ask your prayers for me with the responsibility of leading the translation program at TCNN. Prayers for people to come and study with us from the 184 languages that still have no scripture in Nigeria. And more pastors to bring the life-changing truths of the Word of God to Nigerians in their own languages. Lorena.
Hello, everyone. So, whilst my parents have been doing all this missionary stuff, I've been going to school. There's an international school about 30 minutes away from where we live, and it uses an American curriculum. There's some foreigners, but it's mostly Nigerians attending the school. And the highlight of my day is going out to lunch with a group of friends and just having a laugh. So I've got two more years left now, and the pressure's on to figure out what college to go to, what subjects to take. The problem for me is that I'm interested in a very broad range of topics, so I've absolutely no idea what I want to do. So that would definitely be a prayer point for me, is just wisdom on figuring that out. The Bible campus where we live is huge, with about 80 children whose parents are either students or staff. They love to play on our trampoline or play badminton and hide and seek. We do other fun stuff like crafts or making orange juice. That's a very sticky activity. And it's great because I've made some wonderful new friends that way. Often the children have questions about what the West is like. They ask, does everyone have swimming pools? And what is school like here? And they always say, oh, I want to come with you to Ireland. I don't want to stay in Nigeria. That makes me kind of sad when they only see the corruption and poverty of their country and want to come to this Western paradise they see on TV. And I'm happy to answer their questions, but I always try to encourage them to want to stay in Nigeria. It is a country that has so much potential, and it would be great if these kids could see, rather than going to a place they want to go, they could make Nigeria a place they want to be.
There was an animal there, and I heard the sound over this side. Sarah, can you just go back to the previous one? Can you see the animal? You can see the owl. Well done, children. Thank you for your help. Thank you so much for your prayers. We appreciate it so much. God bless.
Well, thank you all. Yes, thank you, Catherine and Russell and Lowenna. Such an encouragement to hear of the wonderful work that God is doing through you in that part of the world. We've been thinking a little bit about how to be in a good relationship with God, how to be friends with God. So I encourage you just to open your Bibles again to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, it's page 1131, if you're using the Red Church Bible. So, the mistake that Paul wants us to understand is trying to make God friends with us by what we do. So that's not a good idea, okay? So how are we to be in a good relationship or to be friends with God? Now he says again in verse 5, look at verse 5, however, to the man who does not work, or to the person who does not work. Now when he says does not work, he doesn't mean that they just spend their day drinking coffee and watching Netflix. He means does not work to try and make themselves friends with God. So doesn't try to make God friends with them based on what they do. So what do we do? Well, Paul says in verse 5, to the man who does not work but trusts God. Who trusts God. So he uses this word, trust, which is very similar to the word faith, which is in verse 5, and very similar to the word belief. Abraham believed God in verse 3. Trust, faith, belief. It's trusting, it's believing, it's having faith in God. So it's not doing something. It's believing something, okay? Now, our car broke a couple of weeks ago, and it needed to be fixed. Now, I had a couple of options. The first option was that I tried to fix it myself. That would not have ended well, okay, if I tried to fix it myself. So my other option was I pick up the phone, I call the mechanic, and I ask him to fix it. Now, when I pick up the phone and I say to the mechanic, my car is broken, can you fix it? What am I doing there? I'm trusting that the mechanic will fix the car, okay? So my phone call doesn't fix the car. My phone call is asking the mechanic to do what only he can do. So he's the one who fixes the car, but I need to make the phone call. I need to ask him to do it. I need to trust that he will do it. Now, our relationship with God is broken. Our friendship with God is broken. It needs fixing. We can't do it. So what do we have to do, Paul says? We call on God to do it. We ask him to do what we cannot do. I can't do it, God. Will you do it? Have you asked God to do that? To fix your relationship with him, your friendship with him? When we do that, when we call God, we are trusting him. So what happens when we do that? Well, Paul tells us what happens. In verse 5, Paul says that God justifies the wicked. In other words, God makes the wicked his friends. So he brings them into a right relationship with him. Ungodly people, people who have done things wrong, who have done things bad. Now I'm going to ask Peter up to the front again. Peter's going to hold our buckets, smiley face, frowny face. So this bucket is the, what bucket does this represent? What does this represent? What kind of things? Good things that we do. The other bucket represents bad things that we do. Do you know what God does when we ask him to fix our relationship with him? Do you know what he does? He says, Peter, put down the buckets. He says, Peter, step away from the buckets. He says, I will deal with all the things that you have done to try and make yourself friends with me. He says, put down the buckets, step away from the buckets, let me deal with them. And guess what he does then? He gives us a present. He gives us a gift. Don't look inside, Peter. He gives us a gift. He gives us a present. What's the present? Paul tells us what the gift is. In verse 5, his faith is credited as righteousness. So Peter is no longer holding the buckets. That's not how he gets to be friends with God. He gets to be friends with God because God gives it as a present, as a gift. Thank you, Peter. You can keep the present if you want. Great job, Peter. Thank you so much. God gives us a present. God gives us a gift, and the gift is righteousness. A massive word. Righteousness is more or less the same as justification. Justification is being in a good relationship with God, being in a friendship relationship with God. This is what God gives us when we trust him. This is what Jesus has earned for us. This is what Jesus deserves. Jesus deserves the gift. Jesus deserves the good relationship with God. But he gives that to us when we trust him. And so guess what? Instead of our friendship with God being based on what we have done, our friendship with God is based on what he has done. Now, maybe you have never heard that before. Maybe you have never realized that actually God invites you to friendship with him based on what he has done, and all you have to do is turn to him and ask him and say to him, God, I'm sorry for trying to make myself friends with you. Please forgive me. I trust you that you have done everything I need. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Or maybe you've heard this many times before. Maybe you've forgotten that. I wonder this week, has it ever crept in for you that you have gone back to the buckets? That you've thought, oh, I've messed up again so much, God cannot love me. Guess what? God says, put down the buckets. Step away from the buckets. I have got this. I have done everything you need for us to be in an everlasting relationship, friendship with each other. So this week, when you're thinking to yourself, I've messed up too badly, God could not possibly remain in a good relationship with me. Or something happens in your life and you think, oh, it's because I did this. Here's what God wants you to do. Step away from the buckets, okay? Put down the buckets and receive the gift. Remember the gift that you have already received if you've already trusted in Jesus. God gives you that. God gives you what Jesus has deserved, what Jesus has earned, this relationship with him. How does that feel? How does it feel to be in an everlasting, good friendship relationship with God? It feels wonderful. It is the greatest thing you can ever experience. It feels happy in the deepest sense of the word. That's why Paul says, blessed is the man or the woman or the child whose sin is forgiven. Blessed means happy. Paul wants to remind us of that this morning. Paul wants us to hear that this morning. Blessed is the one who has received this gift from God based on what Jesus has done. So let's stop trying to make God to be our friend based on what we do. And let's trust that we are his friend, that he is our friend, that we are in good relationship with him based on what he has done. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this truth that you have spoken to us. Lord, some of us may not have heard this before, and we pray you'd help us to trust you, to accept what you have done for us. And Father, for those of us who have heard this many times before, we pray that this week we would again live in light of this reality. Help us, Lord, not to be picking up the buckets again. Help us, Lord, again to be trusting in what Jesus has done, knowing, Lord, that he has secured our friendship with you forever. Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.